Hello, it's Jane Hamill, and welcome to podcast episode number 19. It is the Fashion Brain Academy podcast, and we're talking about the business of fashion for jewelry designers, fashion designers, home decor designers, creative entrepreneurs in general. Trying to help you with your startup strategy or growing your business and selling more and marketing more, and that's what we do over here. So thanks for coming today. Today's topic is, should I try to sell my jewelry line to big department stores or small boutiques? And it's based on a question that I got from Eva, who is a jewelry designer. So we're going to get to her question and my advice for Eva in just a hot second here. So it's been a while since I've done a podcast. It feels pretty great to be back in the podcast saddle. So I appreciate all your the feedback that you guys give me, the comments you do on the blog. It is just so great, and I really want to tell you thank you. If you're not listening to this podcast on the blog, you'll find it at fashionbrainacademy.com/19, number 19. And there you'll have all the show notes and everything and links if there is anything you want to know. All right, so let's dive in. So this question, it landed in my Ask Jane box. And if you're on the blog, you'll see on the right-hand side, there's an Ask Jane section where you can submit your own question if you ever want to, and maybe I'll answer it in another podcast or video or article or whatever. And it's from a jewelry designer. Her name is Eva. She's actually currently taking my Sell to Boutiques course. So she had some information like, hey, thanks, I learned a lot, but I do have this question, which is great. So I thought I'd answer it for everybody because it's a good question. While I don't have a perfect answer, I'm going to give you and Eva some information that I think is relevant to help her and you make a decision about how you're going to sell, okay? Here's her question. It's a little long, but it's good, so I'm going to read the whole thing. So, Jane, I started my jewelry business a year and a half ago, and I can say that in the first year, I was not 100% focused on what I wanted my business to be. It started as a hobby, but it became clear to me that I want to do things on brand level. I don't want to look like a housewife doing pretty stuff at home. I want to create a business and a company with its own branding, packaging, high quality of materials, and standards. I noticed that it's easier to get into smaller stores, but the problem with them is that many of them don't have bigger budgets, and they're suggesting consignment. I feel I have to do this at this stage. However, my aim is really to be in big stores, like Neiman Marcus, Harvey Nichols, Anthropology, etc. The main reason is that while it's harder to get into these stores, they do have bigger budgets, and basically she says they order more and they can buy more. Their orders are bigger. So what's your advice for a small growing jewelry business to aim big stores, or to try to, quote, swim with the fishes its own size, small boutiques, question marks? First of all, I just love your expression, Eva. That's hilarious. Swim with the fishes. I love it. And let me just tell you, you are not alone. You mentioned something that really struck me, which was in the first year, I was not 100% focused on what I wanted my business to be. It started as a hobby, but it became clear to me that I want to do things on brand level. Hey, you know what? Good for you, because a lot of us do this exact same thing. I'm making clothes for my friends, or I'm doing something for, you know, whatever, myself, and then people start to like it, and I think, oh, maybe I could make a business out of it. This is totally normal. So give yourself a little bit of a break that it took you a year to kind of, you know, decide what you wanted. It's not that long of a time, and it's so normal, okay? It's going to evolve. So I just wanted to shout you out about that. And the other thing is, I mean, it takes time to get clear on what you want, to understand your customer. And major props for you to, as Suzanne Evans, who is a business coach, she calls it going from a hoe to a bow. Hoe meaning H-O, and a bow, a B-O. So going from a hoe, which would be a hobby owner, to a bow, which is a business owner, okay? And they're really different. And a lot of times I run into people who are treating their business like it's a hobby when they're claiming that it's a business. So I get it. And sometimes we all slip into that sometimes too, but first of all, you have clarity that you want it to be a business, so rock on. All right, so let's get down to the smackdown between the big versus little when it comes to stores, because in this case, size really does matter. So the one thing I just want you to understand, though, is that there's no right way to do your business. It's not like, here's what everybody should do. You should do this, then this, then this. When it comes to selling, yes, there's a strategy and a step-by-step approach for approaching stores, but which business model you choose, like small department stores, small stores, big stores, online, you know, whatever, that is totally up to you, and it depends on a few things. And let me list them for you. It depends on your product and your product category. It depends on, you know, what kind of margins you have with your product. It depends what you're good at. What do you really enjoy doing? Who do you like to work with? What kind of people do you like to work with? What kind of environments do you want to be in? It also depends a lot on your financial goals as well as your personal goals. And the older I get, the more I realize that all of these things are tied together. Your personal goals, your lifestyle that you want, it really makes a difference. When it comes to if your business succeeds or not, because even if you're making money, but you're not loving it or even liking it, you're probably not going to keep doing it. So I do like to look at the business, you know, from both angles, not just business-wise, but personal-wise, okay? So let's get the smackdown going. So department stores. I'm going to list the pros and cons of department stores. The pros for department stores, like you mentioned, big orders. You know, they have buying power. They have purchasing power. You know, they're going to test you in some small stores, but if the store goes back in and you're doing well, it can be a huge order. Another pro is that it gives you some street cred. If you can go to somebody and say, hey, I'm in Neiman Marcus, that can really open a lot of doors for you to get into more boutiques and more online selling and more other department stores. Like if you're in Neiman's, then Harvey Nichols is going to look harder at you, that kind of thing, okay? So those are really the pros, the main pros. So the cons of selling department stores, let me grab that. I would say there's a lot of them to me, and I've done both. I've sold both, and there's, you know, I could make an argument both ways, but it can be very, very difficult to reach the buyer. And part of the reason this is there's high buyer turnover. So if you get in and you have a relationship with the buyer, and then they get a new divisional manager or they just get switched out, you have to start over with the new buyer. Now, not completely, because maybe you're already in, but it just can be tough to really reach that buyer because their time is such huge demand, okay? The other thing that can be tricky is markdown money. So with department stores, you have to understand that they have a certain margin that they need to reach. And I can remember a store telling me, look, we need to be at a 40% margin no matter what after markdowns, including markdowns, everything. And so if your big pieces went on sale or didn't sell for some reason, they have to stay at their margin anyway, which means they'll come back to you and ask for markdown money. And this can be very, very difficult to make a profit. If, you know, sometimes they buy things that aren't right, sometimes they merchandise it in a way you wouldn't do, and so it doesn't sell, even though it's sold for you in other stores, you're still sort of responsible sometimes to make up the difference. Now, it doesn't mean you have to write them a check back, but what it means is they say, all right, well, we lost $6,000 or $20,000 or $100,000 on your order, so we'll order from you again, but we need that money credited before we buy. You know, so yeah, you don't have to write us a check, but next time if I owe you 40 and I have 6,000 markdown money, I only owe you 34. So it can be very tricky there. There's also a lot of chargebacks for seemingly ridiculous things when it comes to shipping, like not having the labels in the right place on your box, all kinds of things. You also need to invest in EDI software, E like Edward, D like David, I like Isidore, I don't know, which basically just enables your system to talk to their system, so your shipping, you know, easier. They know what's coming, all of this stuff. Their orders are easier for them. It makes it really easier systems for them. So you have to invest in that, and you have to learn it, or somebody in your company has to learn it. So one of the cons, or maybe it's a pro, since you're getting bigger orders, you have to make sure your production capabilities are ready for that. And this is a big mistake where designers I see going after big stores before they're ready, and they can't really fill it, and so it puts a big strain on their production. So that's something to look out for. One of the major cons is just the margins are lower. You know, they're often going to ask you for discounts based on volume, and if you don't know what you're doing, you could really give away the farm there. Okay, let's talk about the pros and cons of boutiques. So one of the pros about boutiques is there's usually one buyer who is oftentimes the owner, and that person is consistently there. So once, if you're able to build a nice relationship with them, you don't have to start over. You're going to be with that person for ages. So it can be easier to develop a long-term ongoing relationship. The second thing, like you said, which is a pro, is that there's relatively easy access. I'm not saying it's easy to get into boutiques. And like you said, especially with jewelry, they're going to ask for consignment oftentimes when you're new. But it's definitely easier to get in than department stores. And if you're consistent, you can usually just at least get an appointment or get an answer yes or no out of them. And you know, selling wholesale to boutiques, you do get bigger orders than if it was B2C selling, business to consumer selling. So the orders are not as big as department stores, but they're also like they can be decent sized orders, and some boutiques have, you know, 3-4 stores. That can add up. The cons would be if you're shipping one day late, your order can be canceled. Now, this can happen with department stores too, but my experience has been that they have a little more leeway and they pad their orders a little more, but that's just my own opinion. I don't know how other people, if they would agree with me on that or not. So you really have to be shipping on time or early. One of the cons for boutiques can be collecting the payments. You know, if you're going to give a boutique terms and, you know, it's a $3,000 order they owe you versus maybe some of their other vendors that they really order from a lot, you're going to be the last one to get paid. And let's just assume that you will get paid, but you sometimes don't. Of course, I always suggest you get a credit card and charge a boutique's credit card the day before you ship. But that's a different podcast. But the cons can be really finding stores that are trustworthy, stores that are not going to bounce boxes and not going to cancel orders at the last minute. And the other cons can be cash flow issues. Now, this is definitely true with boutiques too. Any type of wholesale, you know, you show the line, you know, whatever date, let's say you show it in February and you're not shipping it for months later. You have to produce those goods on your own dime, your own cash flow, and then you ship it, and then you get paid. So sometimes you really do need purchase order financing, or just you need that cash up front, knowing you're not going to get paid for ages, which is fine if you can hack it. But, you know, I have an acquaintance that he had a wonderful business for probably 5 or 6 years. And he had all these orders from this beautiful stores in Italy and the U.S. too, but a lot from Italy too. And he went to get his usual purchase order financing, which he'd been getting for years. And it was just 2008 when things were just hitting the fan. And he could not get the money to produce the orders. He had solid orders in his hand, and he couldn't. So cash flow-wise, wholesale can be a little bit more demanding than if you're selling direct to consumer. Of course, my ideal situation is if you're doing a little bit of both, so you're mitigating your risk, right? So let me just lay out 4 tips for you and 4 things you really want to have ready and know that department stores want or they're going to do, okay? The first one is, in order for a department store to consider picking up your line, they want to see that you have a proven track record of selling And that's usually with boutiques. Maybe it's direct-to-consumer, whatever. They want to know that your line sells on a consistent basis somewhere. They don't want to take a risk, right? So that's number one. Number two, you want to prove to yourself and to them that you can handle orders, okay? You can ship a product on time, a high-quality product, and one that has sell-through at retail. The third tip that you want to know about is you absolutely have to have your production in place and make sure that your production capabilities are rock solid. Again, a proven system to deliver on time a good product that fits properly, even with jewelry, there's fit issues, okay? And number four, don't forget that the whole shipping policies are an absolute killer for small designers when it comes to department stores. You know, the chargebacks, the markdown money, the EDI software, it truly is swimming with the sharks. So my advice is, I'm not saying don't do it. You know, for me, part of it was a good part of my business. But I would say definitely swim with the fishes first, like you said, with the boutiques. Get a track record going before you decide to get swimming in that potentially bloody water with the sharks, okay? The margins are very, very slim. So it can be tough to make money on department stores. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying consider these things, okay? And for anybody listening, like Eva, if you want to know the process of approaching a retail buyer, a boutique buyer, I have the course that she's currently in, which is How to Sell Your Line to Boutiques. And it really does go over the step-by-step approach, what a perfect email should look like. It gives you a template, that type of thing. It also gives you scripts of what to say on the phone. You know, if they say this, you say this. If they say this, you say this. How often to follow up, that kind of thing. So if that's of interest, just click on over to fashionbrainacademy.com and look for training courses on that homepage, okay? And it's called How to Sell Your Line to Boutiques. So, the whole point is it takes some of the mystery out of selling wholesale. It gives you the step-by-step approach and helps you deal with the fear of contacting buyers, because I know that's super scary, and when I started, it was really awful and hard, and then it got a lot easier, but it's hard. It's tough when you're starting out. So I hope that helps you, Eva, and podcast world, and let me ask you a question. What did you think of this podcast? Did you like it? Was it useful? If you did, then like it and share it with your peeps. I'd love that. And if you're not listening to this on the blog, remember you can find it at fashionbrainacademy.com/wholesale. I want to hear from you now. I want you to go there and leave me a comment and let me know. What do you think? What's your preferred selling avenue? What are you doing? What's working for you? Or what are you planning to do and why? Because a lot of designers have such strong feelings on this topic. It's either, well, yeah, I split, I do both, it's fine, or I hate selling department stores, I'm only doing boutique business. Or I hate dealing with boutiques, I like big box stores. You know, where do you fall? Where do you want to fall? What do you want your business to be like? Let me know in the comments, okay? I would love to hear from you because it's way more fun when this is a conversation back and forth instead of me just talking at you. And I like to know what you're listening. Gary Vaynerchuk is a guy I follow, and he does a daily YouTube show. And he says, I need your comments because it's the oxygen I breathe, which I think is hilarious, and I wouldn't go that far. But I understand what he says. It's just a lot more fun when I hear back. So hit me up, leave me a comment, and thanks for coming today. Have an awesome, awesome day. I will see you on the next episode. Take care, everybody. And remember, I am rooting for you, okay? I am rooting for you. If you're a new designer, if you're an established designer, I don't care. I hope your business is kicking butt, and I want it to be great. So have fun and take care. Bye-bye.